Okay, program cue, 10 seconds.
Okay.
Ready, roll.
Roll.
Cue.
Okay, it's all cued.
Roll fame, roll.
From the Isle of Kokoba, deep in the heart of the British West Indies, it's time now for the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, this time for April 1st, 1987. The National Radio Club's DX Audio Service may be copied in whole or part if you want your sweet little butt wrapped up in jail. Now, here's Mike in suit enters illegitimate son, Fred Moby, with this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service!
Thank you very much, and we're broadcasting live from the Isle of Kokoba here in the British West Indies. On this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for April 1st, 1987. Let's step right over to the front page of DX News. From Tim Hendel comes word of a new product called the Panatronic AD-1901 Diachronic Receiver. Did you ever wish you could actually go back in time and listen to old radio programs? Did you ever miss last week's Larry King Show? Did you ever wish you could have been in Memphis when they played the first Elvis record on the radio? Would you like to have been sitting in Columbus when Orson Welles broadcast The War of the Worlds, or in Pittsburgh when KDKA actually started broadcasting? Now all of this is possible. To use the AD-1901, all you have to do is punch in on the keyboard the year, month, and day, and the frequency you want to listen to, and then the program comes in. The radio also has a scan function. In this mode, you punch in the year, month, and day, and we'll give you a sample of everything that was on the air on that day. Never again do you need to worry about a program you missed, or bribe your friends to make copies of their old-time radio tapes. You can now hear it all for yourself. And to obtain more information about this particular product, all you have to do is contact the Shortwave Snore, and that is located somewhere in Wisconsin. And as soon as we find out, we'll pass that information on to you. We don't have any CPC tests to report on this edition of the DX Audio Service. However, we do have a special test, an FM signal on the AM band. WKPE 1170, Orleans, Massachusetts, is now serving merely as a relay of WKPE FM 104.7 and have offered to sell their AM spot to WOMR FM 91.9 of Provincetown. The former will give special permission to WOMR to conduct a special test on 1170 kilohertz. But since WOMR does not own an AM transmitter, this test will be done using their present 1,000-watt FM transmitter on WKPE's AM frequency of 1170. Nobody really knows what to expect. FM signals are, of course, very, very broad, a term which also describes Fred Vobey's posterior. And this test may be indeed a blot of the entire AM broadcast band locally. And they are anxious to learn what it will do at some distances. WOMR will use its two-bay FM antenna in Provincetown for this test. Reception reports, of course, are desired from near and from far. The address is WOMR Radio, Box 975, Provincetown, Massachusetts, 02657. And since WOMR is a non-commercial community access station, it depends upon listeners' support for its funding, and it will take a donation of $5 or more to earn your verification for this test. The test time will be Sunday, April 5th, 1987, from 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Reports should be addressed to the old left-handed bandmaster. Programming will consist of march band music. Oh, yes, please do not send in a polite reception report. We regard such sissified reports as just purely mishmash. And in the words of one Ernest J. Cooper, forward march. Well, we don't have Jerry Starr on this edition of the DX Audio Service. It seems that Jerry is off with Ron Musco, Wayne Heinen, and Dick Truax et al., TPing WDEL's towers. So in place of Mr. Jerry Starr on this edition of the DX Audio Service, a very professional, in-depth report from John Bowker on a very professional and in-depth product. John?
Audio Service Special Report. This is a special report on cassette tape recording of AM station IDs, report number 43. Well, hello once again, everyone. This is John Bowker, and over the years I have been asked innumerable times how on earth I am able to collect AM station breaks that are so clean from all over the country. They ask, do I travel to each of these cities? What do I do, fly on my weekends from town to town, or drive my car, expending thousands of gallons of gasoline, or setting up tape recorders in airports and bus stations looking like an idiot wearing ear? Well, the answer is yes. In part, that's true. But starting about the mid-70s, I found a new way of tape recording AM station breaks that I want to share with you. Over the months, I may share some of my other techniques, but this is one of my favorites. Now pay close attention. All it takes is an AM-FM radio with a built-in cassette recording mechanism. Very popular. You can find them on the market now anywhere from $40 on up. In addition, read through any of the junk catalogs that you get in the mail at home. We all get them, and they have little digital clocks that perhaps have an alarm system. Buy one. Select one that has an alarm system that can be preset for 3, 4, 5, even 7 days in advance. Now, when your digital clock arrives, take the back off very carefully, and where the two wires lead to the alarm circuit, the little alarm that goes bling, 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 and drives everybody crazy, remove those wires from the alarm and bring them to an external place so that you can add more wire that'll plug into your radio. I'll tell you exactly how. Have you ever noticed that on the side of your AM/FM cassette portable radio, battery-operated portable, of course, there are a number of jacks? That's an electronic term, but stay with me. I'll keep it simple for you. Where it says microphone, look very closely. You'll see there are two holes in the side of your radio. Again, jacks, for those of you technically oriented. The smaller of those two holes is a switch mechanism jack. And if you have a switch that plugs in there, all you need do is short circuit the two wires there, or put an electrical current through them, but you know, same thing almost. And immediately the radio and cassette recorder will come on. I can see you're ahead of me. You see what's coming. Well, here's what I do. For instance, I have, let's say that I want to record a station in Louisville, Kentucky, or some godforsaken place like that. Fine. All I need do is select the station in Louisville that I'd like to record. WHAS is hackneyed. I don't need that. I'll pick another station in Louisville. And I will take my digital recorder and set the digital clock, I should have said, not recorder, set the digital clock for 4 days in the future at, say, 12 o'clock noon or 3 in the afternoon or 10 in the morning, never at night because you never know but what the station may go off the air at night due to a format change. Tony Fitzherbert keeps up pretty well with format changes for the National Radio Club, but sometimes, well, you know, Tony. Anyway, what we do then is to have the clock set, let's say, for 10 o'clock, maybe 10 of 10 in the morning, and record for, what, 15 or 20 minutes? And if you have a special clock, I paid over $30 for mine, you can have it turn on and turn off 4 times. So I set my digital clock for 5 minutes of 10 and have it run for 10 minutes. And then I set it for 5 minutes of noon and have it run for 10 minutes. 5 minutes of 2 and have it run for 10 minutes. And 5 minutes of 4 and let it run for 10 minutes. If you missed any of those times, you can play the tape back and pick it up for yourself, I'm sure, without any difficulty. I then have a very special box, which I have now used perhaps 30 to 35 times. And it's the box that the radio that I bought, the AM/FM cassette radio, came in. And it has all that special packing material. I wrap it up in plain brown wrapping paper. And I mail it to John Bowker, you see, that's me, at some address. I just make up any old address and hope it doesn't exist. In Louisville, Kentucky. That's the example I'm using. You can pick any city you want. And of course, I very neatly block print my return address in the upper left corner. I then insure the package. I insure it for $100. I tell them, oh, it's got a cassette radio in there, $150, but I've had it for 6 months, so I'll just put down $100. They say, okay, fine. And the insurance costs me, what, $1.25? The postage is another $1.25 because I send it fourth class, you know, the parcel post. And so you can see that this the hobby doesn't cost me hardly anything, even though I've been doing this over a period of many years, many times a month. I then simply give it to the postman and sit back and relax. And about a week and a half later, I get the box back labeled addressee unknown, but it comes back to me. I carefully unpack it. I take out the cassette AM-FM recording machine. I find the tape has been all used up, and I play it back. As a matter of fact, would you like to... Well, here. I'm going to show you what I did when I sent my cassette recorder just recently to Louisville, Kentucky. Let's see if we can pick this up here. Yeah, that's it. This is what I picked up this way.
The corner, we have Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers, the Forrester Sisters, Ronnie Mills, and a whole bunch more. It's 8 a.m. at All American Country, 1080 WCII Louisville. With WCII News, here
okay,
is...
there you are. That was recorded last April 1st, 1986. There's my secret, and that's the technique that we use here at the DX Audio Service to pick up so many of the IDs that you hear on the travelogue. I hope you've enjoyed this and learned something from it, and that you too will be successful now in recording AM station breaks on tape. Next month, stay tuned for special report number 44. John Bowker, so long.
Thank you very much, John, for that very informative report. We spoke a while back upon the past, but what about the future? Looking ahead, what will DX be like in the 1990s? An article from Neil Wolfish, and Neil has graciously included a jingle for the beginning of his report.
A fine variety of fish and seafood we are proud to sell. Fresh or frozen as you wish at a price you like as well.
North American television viewers were recently subjected to a week's worth of America, which looked at the United States in 1997 following a Soviet takeover. We all know that the scenario such as America is rather unlikely, don't we? However, we would be foolish to assume that the world in which we live would not be different in 1997. Have you ever wondered about the future? Will there be any clear channel stations left? Will there be any DX clubs? Will there be any stations that don't carry Larry King? Let us now gaze into the crystal ball and see what the future holds. In 1988, the breakdown of the clear channels continues. The FCC reclassifies 700 and 1200 as Class 4 local channels. WLW Cincinnati runs a 5-hour special DX test and is widely reported by DXers in Hamilton and Butler counties. 1989. Fed up with the breakdown of the clear channels, KFI Los Angeles convinces the state of California to sever from the United States and join Japan. Nevada follows suit, as the government of Japan promises 720 KDWN and other Nevada stations will be permitted to operate at 50 kilowatts with a non-directional antenna. 1990. Korea entices Oregon with a similar deal. Idaho and Washington decide to become part of British Columbia. The IRCA moves its headquarters to Sacramento, continuing with its tradition of being published in cities beginning with the letter S. 1991. Fragmentation of the United States continues in the face of clear channel breakdown. Maine joins New Brunswick. Vermont and New Hampshire become part of the province of Quebec. Louisiana is annexed by Cuba. WWL New Orleans becomes CMWWL, a relay of Radio Rebelde. 1992. Disenchanted with Cuban interference and FCC apathy toward them, Florida broadcasters convince the state to join Haiti. Montana and Wyoming decide to unite with the province of Alberta. 4VGTO in Cypress Gardens, Haiti conducts a DX test. This is widely heard throughout Cuba, Jamaica, and the Turks and Caicos. 1993. The IRCA commences publication of DX Monitor from Salt Lake City. The Dakotas and Minnesota become part of Manitoba. CBW Winnipeg establishes HPRTs, high-powered relay transmitters in Minneapolis on 830 kHz, Fargo on 790 kHz, Duluth on 710 kHz, and Yankton on 570 kHz. The CRTC finally adds stations to Canadian Clear 530 kHz. To Alberta stations, CIFM and CJFM, sign on with 50,000 watts and are regularly heard audible at noon in Fort Erie. 1994. Mexico reacquires most of the Americas Southwest after over 150 years.
XEKOA Denver becomes a widely heard religious border station with its new power of 150,000 watts. XEBAP Fort Worth and XEKKOB Albuquerque make plans to follow suit in 1995. After being denied power increases from the FCC to counter interference from neighboring Cuba and Mexico, Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Oklahoma unite as a state calling itself ARKANMISSRASKOHOMA. KAAY Little Rock doubles its power and becomes the first all-Larry King station in North America. IRCA begins publishing in Spokane, British Columbia. WHLO Akron is granted a call letter change by the FCC to KFI. KFI in Los Angeles, Japan, is powerless to prevent that change. 1996. The CRTC opens up 520 kHz as a new Canadian clear channel. CIGR in Grimsby, Ontario begins relaying 610 CKTB to make up for the St. Catherine station's poor daytime coverage in Ohio and Pennsylvania. IRCA begins publishing DX Monitor in Salinas, Japan. ANARC is renamed the Association of North American Radio Countries. The National Radio Club holds its annual Labor Day Convention in Louisville, Kentucky for the 13th time in club history. Admittance is limited to the first 200 DXers bringing 10-watt transmitters. 840 WHAS conducts a special test during the convention and is also heard in Jeffersonville, Indiana. 1997. Further disenchantment with the FCC leads Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Virginia, Mississippi, North Carolina, and South Carolina to leave the United States of America and form Dixie. WSM Nashville and WSB Atlanta immediately double their power and begin to receive phone calls from listeners in the suburbs. The remainder of the United States of America reorganizes itself as the United States of Akron, headed by George Green. Akron is chosen as the new capital city, as it is equidistant from Canton, home of the Football Hall of Fame, Cleveland, home of the Super Bowl champion Browns, and Youngstown, home of the 1997, 1998, and 1999 NRC conventions. 1590 WAKR becomes a new medium wave outlet for the VOA. Voice of Akron. WAKR is chosen over 640 KFI and 1350 WSLR because WAKR is the only radio station regularly heard in all 16 states. The 1997 ANARCON is held in Newmarket, Ontario, thus continuing ANARC's tradition of rotating its convention site between Montreal, hosted by CIDX, and a Toronto suburb hosted by ODXA. IRCA begins publishing DX Monitor in Salem, Korea. 1998. The annual IRCA convention is finally held in St. Louis. However, the club has not held a convention east of the Mississippi River in 6 years. Accordingly, the convention is held in St. Louis, Michigan, hosted by 1540 WMLM. WMLM runs a special DX test for the event, and both KXEL and WPTR agree to stand by during the test. CHIN Toronto is widely reported by DXers in Michigan, but an Albany DXer picks up the WMLM test with Italian march music. The Mutual Broadcasting System cuts back the Larry King Show to 20 hours daily. Portland's HLKEX announces plans to move to Korean Clear Channel 1188 kHz and to compete with 100,000 watt 747 HLKXL. 1999. New Orleans Radio Rayho outlet, 690 CMTIX, is reported throughout North America drifting up to 710, heading against CMEEL, the Radio Progresso station in Shreveport. Jacksonville's 4VAPE changes its format for the 15th time in 8 years, dropping punk oldies for Creole hits, CHR for short. Format wars persist in metropolitan Houston. 740 XEKTHR becomes the market's seventh all-Springsteen station. Meanwhile, Galveston's 1540 XEKGBC picks up an ever-popular MYL, Madonna of Your Life, syndicated format. 2000. The IRCA moves its headquarters to San Jose, Japan. The club's annual convention is held in East St. Louis, Illinois. The National Radio Club announces its Utility DX column will now run every week, rather than only during the summer. The FCC announces plans to increase nighttime powers on all 24 Class 4 local channels to 10 kilowatts. Immediately, 95 broadcasters on 1250 kilohertz request a frequency change to 1240 or 1260. 2001. The CRTC finally makes it easier for DXers to hear the Yukon. CFWH in Whitehorse moves down to 510 kilohertz and increases its power to 50 kilowatts. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, Cheer Radio in Leamington begins broadcasting Sunset to Sunrise on 510, remaining on 530 during the daytime. You've been listening to a special report on the future of DXing. This report was written by Neil Wolfish, who also co-authored a book called You Can Tune a Radio, But You Can't Tune a Fish. Portions pre-recorded. Did you really think we'd do this live?
Lowest prices you will get at our super, super market. KFI 640 grooving out of Los Angeles.
This, oh, I love it when you do that.
We got 50,000 watts of clear power of positive swinging in the voice of the Wild West.
This are Loman and Barkley.
KFI 640,
but hurry, this is a limited offer.
Calling it a strong programming move for a station of the 1980s, radio station XLPK Fort Worth debuted its new backward country format. XLPK general manager Eoj Idims said there's no format like it anywhere. According to Idims, it will keep our listeners always looking behind them. The XLPK format fills an important need in the Fort Worth market. Here's XLPK PM driver Midge Relight on the station's first day.
What a sound. Look for variations of this novel format to spring up everywhere, like Backward CHR, Backward Oldies, and even Backward Backwards. XLPK is looking forward to their backward format. For the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Talbot.
The following is some QRM. I'm Aaron Cool in San Jose, and this is the Wetlink CB Radio News. This week's top story, Ohm's laws declared unconstitutional. Here are the details. In an unusual Sunday session, the California Supreme Court has ruled that Ohm's law is unconstitutional and has ordered that any mention of Ohm's law be deleted from all books, magazines, and discussions where it has been previously used. According to Chief Justice Rose Byrd, the unusual session of the court was called after a coalition of minority groups threatened violence if a decision on the legality of Ohm's law was not forthcoming immediately. The group which brought the suit, heard by the state's highest court, claims that the blanket statement that E equals IR does not provide for any minority view, that E may differ from IR on some occasions, and therefore is in violation of the 1st, 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Justice Byrd continued, and we quote, "In the interest of public safety and individual rights, the court has declared that Ohm's law is null and void and is to be replaced by Ohm's opinion, since the entire question is open to debate," end quote. At airtime, there has been no reaction from anyone in the pro-Ohm's law camp. We'll keep you posted. The ARRL does have glass balls. This is the conclusion reached by a team of researchers at the University of Norway who were commissioned by the League to study the matter almost 10 years ago. The controversy surrounding the League's balls started when Personal Communications Foundation attorney Joe Merdler, N6AHU, made the following statement at a 1982 ARRL Southwest Division convention.
Expect them to know what you want. You expect them to know what you need and what has to be done if you haven't told them. They're not mind readers. They don't have glass balls or crystal balls or whatever you want to say.
Since that time, a controversy has raged in the amateur community as to the exact nature of the League's balls, and in the hope of quelling some of the anger that has split the amateur community wide open, the ARRL itself has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in the hope of finding a conclusion based on scientific evidence. The results were made public last Monday by Professor Johan von Galovich, who told Wetlink,
"It's extremely simple. They all have glass balls."
Professor von Galovich added that the League's balls are definitely glass and not crystal, as some had hoped. A new science may threaten the amateur equipment marketplace. The Soviet news agency TASS announced late Thursday that Russian scientists had achieved the first successful cloning of an amateur transceiver. This news has sent the already depressed amateur equipment marketplace into a nosedive. According to the press release, Professor Vladimir Gorzinsky and his assistant Dr. Leonid Katosmi produced an exact replica of a Kenwood TS-500 all-mode HF transceiver from a single case filing taken from the donor radio. The Russian news service did not elaborate, but did note that these were the same two scientists that delivered the first test tube 2-meter handheld only 3 years ago. Rick Lodge, an ex-ham who was sentenced to a life term for saying 10 dirty words on the air, is again out of jail after having escaped from the federal maximum security prison in Rahway, New Jersey. Lodge, who weighs over 550 pounds, effected his break to freedom by walking through a 5-foot-wide stone wall that surrounds the compound. Federal officials that Wetlink spoke with told us that an all-points bulletin has been issued for Lodge's arrest, but that they are not in any way in a big hurry to get him back. Since Lodge has been in captivity, his meals alone have helped raise the national debt several million dollars. A new license delay system will be implemented by the FCC early next year. Under the present system, amateur license processing takes between 4 days to 20 weeks, depending on the physical condition of the Gettysburg computer. As a result, there has been a lot of frustration among applicants, but this will soon end. According to FCC spokesman Niles Forbush, the new delay system will automatically hold back all responses, no matter how simple the request, to 18 weeks to better serve the public. Currently, the FCC is soliciting applications for the newly created posts of Director, Deputy Director, and Undersecretary of Delay. You are listening to the Wetlink CB Radio News, heard on bulletin stations around the corner, including Dead Gulch Louie in Broken Bow, Montana.
This is W... I'm sorry, babes. It's... where is it? Okay, let's try it again. This is WMAL at 63 in Washington.
Darkness greets the early orange rays streaking across the Washington sky.
Breaks through the darkness to touch the heart of Washington.
Swings on WSGA.
A tricky devil. He's hit us below the belt.
In Savannah, Georgia.
KVIL, 1150, Dallas.
Don't take chances. Listen to KVIL. Case number 94728 didn't. And she's going to regret it for the rest of her life. This Farmers Branch area woman was asked to listen to KVIL by a close, close friend. She didn't, and 5 days later, she fell into an open vat of Jergens lotion and almost softened herself to death.
Get yourself together, get your friends to come along. Good time music's here for everyone. Everyone has hang-ups, but don't let yours hang you up. Just get your head on straight and have some fun.
I'm Eli Wirtz of Cedar Creek Lake, winner of last year's KVIL Listener Contest. I'm not eligible to enter the contest this time around, but I've been authorized to give you a hint. This year, there are more than 34 dead lizards in the jar.
Kids and dogs and uncles, even friends can come along.
KVIL Stereo 103.7, serving Highland Park, Dallas, Fort Worth, and an occasional tennis ball.
Papa told me, watch out for the girls that come along. Mama said, son, watch behind your ears.
Heidi, we're the Lethbridge Brothers of Ardmore, Oklahoma. Say something, Dan. Well, Dan don't want to say nothing right now. But we always listen to KVIL because it offers really good music any time of the day. Right, Dan? Well, Dan don't want to say nothing right now. But we like KVIL because the guys on it are real friendly-like. Right, Dan? Well, the cat's got Dan's tongue here. But I guess I speak for both of us when I say that KVIL is the best radio station ever.
It is not.
Oh, shut up, Dan, you nitwit.
KVIL!
Some interesting material there from some of the members of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, some jingles and otherness. Well, we have a letter for our Muse column here on the DX Audio Service. This one is from Mr. Cy Menther Cohen of 100 Sniffle Street, Coldwater, Michigan. And Cy writes, "My latest vary is in from WQIZ 810 in South Carolina, who says that they're always thrilled to receive DX reports and always verify them 100%. They asked me to tell all National Radio Club members to tune in for them at twilight and to send them a report. No return postage is necessary. I've been noticing lately that just before local dawn, that KGU has been making it in over WJR 760 many mornings. That's Hawaiian number 13. Lucky 13 for me. This is probably due to what I call the Eastern Lights, or the Aurora Europus. About an hour before the sunrise, the eastern sky begins to show a little light, and this acts somewhat like the aurora borealis does. It enhances reception from the opposite direction from the light, that is, the west. That is when to look for Hawaiians and other Pacific stations. It also works in the evening, about an hour after sunset, when there is still a little bit of light in the western skies. Western signals are blocked out, and stations to the east start to roll in. That's when to search for the Europeans and stations in Greenland and Iceland. This is called the Aurora Japonis. And it doesn't take a great huge radio to take advantage of these little facts, as I'm using a realistic TRF 12-655 and no external antenna. Now, a little bit about myself. I'm a new member, 15 years old, and if I do say so myself, a genius, as I am about to graduate from high school this coming June. My analyst says there is a fine line between a genius and a mental case. So he's urged me to go right into college and make sure it's a genuine genius. I do my homework while DXing at sunset. The other day I caught 250-watt WKIZ on 1500 over WCZY, and I found out the next day that I had sent them my science homework. When I handed in my paper to the teacher, it was my DX report for WKIZ. But would you believe it? My teacher verified it. That's Florida number 307 for me. I have to close now. All correspondence is welcome, but please include return postage as I need all the spare change for cigarettes. You see, I smoke about 4 packs a day. Gotta go. Here comes my probation officer. Bye for now. And that's from Mr. Cy Menther-Cohen of 100 Sniffle Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Well, unfortunately, we don't have Phil Wayne's Market Scope for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. You see, there was a little bit of a technical problem in that Phil thought he was talking into his microphone, but actually he was talking into an Oscar Mayer, and the hot dog was not connected necessarily to his control board, so his voice didn't make the tape. So what we're going to do on this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service is basically play you the air checks that Phil sent in, and where you hear the beep, you're just going to have to make up your own commentary preceding or post-setting the air check. And Phil does send his regrets for this and says he'll never speak into another hot dog again. So now here's Market Scope with Phil Wayne.
Radio Margherita Top 100. I nostri 100 dischi di successo. Da ascoltare per 24 ore al giorno. Dai 95 ai 300 MHz. Radio Margherita Top 100. 100 modi di essere radio.
Permette? Presence Line.
Arredamenti d'interno di qualsiasi ambiente con sistema computerizzato.
Presence Line.
Cucine componibili, mobili e salotti.
Presence Line.
Mobili per uffici, complementi d'arredamento delle più prestigiose marche.
Presence Line.
Pagamenti fino a 36 mesi senza cambiali.
Presence Line è a Palermo, in via Alcide De Gasperi 32. Telefono 091 52 82 27.
Presence Line. Potete accomodarvi.
On your radio. Yes, this is the Richards Radio Show along with Phil. Phil, how you doing there?
Hey, just real good this morning, Fred.
Yeah, I understand that today is Bob Walker Day. You know what that is?
No, what's that?
Bob Walker Day is the day that his hose comes down in history.
Beat it.
Yeah, I know. Beat it, yeah. Okay, anyways, and you can hear the cart machine slugging in the background. Boy, I tell you, what are these things? Antique Marconis or what? Okay, listen, Phil, we got Today in History coming up right after a couple of messages. You think you can handle this?
Oh, yeah, no problem. No problem. Sweat.
No problem. Okay, and then, Bob, this, by the way, is for you. And when we say this butt is for you, we mean that this butt is for you.
Some DXers, well, they like a beer or two. And when you're out in one of those DX positions and need a nice cold glass of beer, make it Budweiser. Pop one open and listen to it pour. That's why they call it the king of beers. And after you drink a couple or two, go behind that bush. But watch out for Bob's radio.
When you say Budweiser. You've said it all.
Budweiser, Louisville and Jeffersonville.
Anyways, we we got something here that I think Furpo is around now. Let's see if Furpo...
Hey, Richards.
Here he is.
Listen, yeah. I want to tell you something. I've been sitting here listening to all this stuff that's been going on, you know? And I just figured out something.
What's that?
Something I think you ought to know.
What's that?
Well, you know, I figured out that, you know, exports from this town is down about 47%.
Yeah, that's
while
about right.
People getting drunk is up about 19%.
You'd agree that?
You know, I think more people are getting loaded than freight cars.
Yeah, get out of here, Furpo. Go on, take a hike. Dumb creep.
65. Well, there you have it right there. Old Cesro himself from last year, I think that was. Boy, it seems like a long time ago, doesn't that? That's Hello Dolly. And this is the sound of Young Westchester, 900 Radio, the sound of WVWA. The sun is shining, and it's just one of those days to get out in the sun.
And that's it for Market Scope on this edition of the National Radio Club's DX audio service. Hopefully on side two, Phil will know the difference between an Oscar Mayer and his microphone. However, just once, I'd like to see how you plug a hot dog into the end of a microphone cable. Be it as it may, he will be on side two of this cassette with the real Market Scope, as will Jerry Starr and John Bowker and the rest of us. The real world appears on side two of this cassette. And before we go, I'd like to thank those of you who contributed the material for this edition of the DX Audio Service, the April Fool's edition. It's incredible to say, but a lot of times people think that I actually put all the material together for the audio services, and that's not true. I merely coordinate the efforts of all the columns that you hear on this cassette. All the different stories which you heard on side one of this cassette, and the jingles and the music bits and everything, were put together by the different editors and the different people which are members of the DX audio service. And I might say that it's a darn creative bunch that we have, both in the editor's column and also in the membership column. Very good edition of the DX Audio Service, April Fool's edition. And hopefully next year we'll have just as good or better edition. And just before we flip over to side two, I'd like to remind you that if you have any bouquets or brickbats for the National Radio Club or for the DX Audio Service, here are the addresses to write to. If you'd like to write to the National Radio Club, send your comments to Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024. The editor in charge of the National Radio Club is Mike Knitter, K-N-I-T-T-E-R. My last name is spelled V-O-B-B-E, Fred Vobey. And here at the DX Audio Service, our address is 706 McKenzie, M-A-C, capital K-E-N-Z-I-E, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. See you on side two with the real world of the DX Audio Service. Bye.